His mercy rains from heaven like confetti at a wedding, and I am celebrating in the downpour. Yes, and your heart is wild with color like a never-ending summer. Burn away the winter of my cold and weary heart.
Everybody sing it out.
My soul cries out, holy, holy, my heart is lost in your beauty. Oh, hope is found in your mercy. You pay the price, and
yeah.
way you have made us. We were created for your pleasure, for your presence, for the glory of your name. Thank you for the way that you love us.
Sing it to him.
Thank you for the way that you love us, how you love us. Let's thank the Lord now. Thank you for the way that you love us, how you love us. And thank you for the way that you love us, how you love us.
Watch. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over to us all. How will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Verse 35 says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No. None of that can. And we're singing about that. So as Edie begins to sing this bridge again, I want you to sing it with all your heart. And as it builds in your heart, just begin to declare it. Don't worry about anybody else. You have the freedom to worship God right here, right now. Come on, sing it out.
Thank you for the way that you love us, how you love us. And thank you for the way that you love us, how you love us. Make it personal now. And thank you for the way.
I am a child of God.
declare it, declare it.
I am surrounded by the arms of the Father. I am surrounded by songs of deliverance. We've been liberated from all our bondage. Yes, come on. We're the sons and the daughters. Let us speak, come on, our
Dad. And he's not just dad, he's a good father.
Yes.
I want you to know, like, he's good. He's like, it's who he is. He can't help but to be good because it's
Amen.
Who he is. And I felt so strongly that there were some people in here that some of these songs we were singing, you know, how great is love, all that stuff, you felt like, yeah, that's, I know that's true for somebody, but I don't think it's true for me. I know that's true. You know, I know God can do miracles. God can do anything. God can do whatever he wants, but I'm not sure he can do it for me. You have this idea that God is able, but you aren't really sure if he's willing. There's this incredible story of a guy who's sick in all kinds of ways, comes up to Jesus, and he says the exact same thing. He says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me well. God, you can do anything if you're willing. I love his response. I am willing. Be made well. I want you to know that's his response to you today. That I am willing. I'm not just good for the world. I don't just love the world. I'm good for you. I'm willing for you. I love you. You can't believe God is too good. Whatever you're trying to believe for that you're uncertain about, man, you can believe that God is just that good. So wherever you are, close your eyes. Close your eyes and let's talk to him right now. Let's talk to the good Father.
You are good, your mercy endures forever. You are good, Lord.
Lord, I thank you that you are that good.
that your heart has always been towards us. And I pray that we will be a people, that we'll be a church that believes, that doesn't just believe that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than all that we could ask or think, God, but that we believe that you're willing, that you want to, that you want to do it not just for the world, but for our families, God, for that we believe you're good towards our families, that you're good towards Picayune, that you're good towards our schools, that great things can happen. Because our trust is in Daddy God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Woo! Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Resurrection Life Worship Center. You made it here on Harvest Sunday. Come on. We appreciate y'all bringing fruits, vegetables, canned stuff, all this that I have personally tasted most of, and I can vouch, I'm not dead yet, so I can vouch that it's not poison. Somebody's got to do that, and I, you know, but they wouldn't let me touch the melons. It's just wrong. They wouldn't let me touch the melons, but we're going to be able to take all of this food, and we're going to take it to orphans and different food ministries that provide food to the homeless. Man, that is awesome. That's a good thing. That's not the only reason that I'm glad to be here, though. There's a group of us here that have been at youth camp for the past week. Anybody in here that? Come on. Any of y'all excited that you went? Come on, I'm excited. I'm excited. It was awesome. It was great. You're real excited. You know, I just got to do something, maybe. Any of y'all listen, just to make sure y'all are paying attention. Let me hear. I said a boom, chick-a-boom. I said a boom, chick-a-boom. I said a boom, chick-a-rocka, chick-a-rocka, chick-a-boom. Give me two claps and a Ric Flair. Woo! Get you going in the morning, man. Look, when you want to get 150 teenagers psyched up about Jesus early in the morning, you got to get creative, all right? You got to get creative. You know, I'm glad to be here because, I had the pleasure of being in a room with a bunch of junior high boys and some high schoolers in there, too. But the first day I walked in and the smell overwhelmed me. I mean, it was bad. The other counselors, they wouldn't even come in through that room to get to where I was to talk. They wouldn't come. I mean, it smelled like a deli meat burp is what it smelled like. It was that, whatever you're imagining, that's how bad it was. That's how bad it was. That probably was too much information. I'm trying to share my pain with you, but I want you to know good stuff happened. Good stuff happened. I'm glad to be here because y'all, I want you to know y'all smell real nice. You smell real nice. Yeah. Great stuff happened. There was people that got set free from stuff. Well, I got to pray with somebody who got saved right there, that camp. I mean, people got saved. It is awesome to see what God's doing. And we don't want to just give you words. Let's look at a quick video.
There is peace in knowing that who you are is good enough. It's not good enough because you're great. Please understand that. It's good enough because God wants to give you that. He's perfectly capable of doing the rest. But he made you the way you are intentionally. Your pursuit of God is going to start when you place the adequate value that he is the treasure. He is the only treasure worth seeking, the only thing worth giving my life for.
Thank you.
No doubt. And if this is your first time here, man, we want to welcome you. Maybe one day you'll get to the point you can be a counselor at a camp like that. I would encourage anybody to be a part, because it's you set time aside away to seek God, and God always does amazing things. If this is your first time, though, we want to say welcome. And all we ask you to do is go out the double doors in the back, turn to the left, fill out a little card so we can have record of your visit and get in contact with you, help you get connected to other people. And let's give a hand for all of our first-time visitors. All right, now let's take a look at our RLM Minute.
Do you know what an Instagram life is? It's basically all about putting filters over your pictures. But what happens when you take away all those filters? The real you is revealed. And our next issue of Life Signs topic is called Don't Be Spoon-Fed, Looking for Truth Beneath the Surface. So if you would like to write an article about that, we're asking you to send it to cat@rlministry.org. It's got to be at least 1,500 words or less, and we have to have it in by tomorrow by 5 o'clock. And if you own a business and you would like to advertise your business in the magazine, see Tanya Stockstill or Dawn Bechtel out in the foyer today to get your advertiser's packet. We need that packet in no later than tomorrow, the 25th, by 5 o'clock. Madam Ministries Twice as Nice Thrift Store is celebrating our nation's birthday by having a July 3rd sale. Clothing that day will be $1 in honor of our first president, George Lucas. George Washington. And also, they'll be handing out hot dogs until 12 o'clock that day. It's going to be an awesome time. Remember, July the 3rd.
Hey guys, VBS is coming up July 9th through the 13th. This year's theme is shipwreck. Unlike Todd's life, which is a total train wreck. So, hey, if you'd like to sign up, because God knows we need help with these children, you can sign up to help at the nursery check-in and also register your children.
Hey, guys, if you're interested in becoming a new life group leader, then we have a training for you. Now, the first one's going to be on July the 15th. That'll be a Sunday at 5 p.m. in the cafe. And then Wednesday the 18th in the cafe at 7. By the way, that's right by my birthday, which is the 19th. So if you want to give a gift and, you know, maybe I can help you out with some other stuff.
Cut. Really, Billy? This is shameless. Mm-hmm. I would never talk about my birthday being on December the 4th of this year and people giving me presents.
Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody's interested.
Sexual battle of its life.
You take just a standard cookie cutter Christian, don't do this, don't do that, it won't work.
It's going to really sweep through the church like a tsunami wave of destruction of the family.
I had wanted to fly a jet aircraft since I was 4 years old. I wanted to be a fighter pilot.
Hey.
And so it was all I was living for.
Still think you're a hot shot? You won't last 10 seconds in combat. You know how to fly, but you don't know how to fight.
You have to understand how the enemy is personally bushwhacking you.
This is an ambush.
I'm rolling in.
I was an alcoholic. I was a sex addict. I was completely out of control.
Like I had a rope around my leg, they have a noose around their soul. And the harder they pull against it, the worse it gets. That's why trying harder doesn't work. You have to know your enemy if you're going to win. He's not just going to go away.
suggests the power of sexual bondage. It promises you everything, gives you absolutely nothing. It feels as if there's no hope, you're never getting out of this. But the shed blood of Jesus Christ guarantees there's a way out.
Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Come on, I hear that quoted all the time on TV and movies. They have no idea what it means. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say that you will be made free?" Now, it is amazing the gift the human mind is. But it can totally convince you of things that are totally a lie. Now, these are Jews. A large part of our New Testament, of which they read at that time when they said that, was about them being in bondage for 400 years. And then they're right when they said that. They're in bondage to Rome. Amen. Just like when people say, "I don't need Jesus. I can handle this on my own. I can defeat this addiction on my own." Right. Your brain's working overtime. Here we go. It says, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, he whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing. I pray for your Spirit to be here. I pray that you will... God, reveal yourself. God, I'm praying you'll speak to people today. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, I made a mistake, and I recognize it now, but when you commit to something, you're in for the duration. This is the last installment of Who Am I? And in August, we're going to start a series called LifeLock. You know, like the commercial. LifeLock. We're going to try to attack identity thieves. Things that steal who you are. Okay? That steal, that can, if you allow them to come, you know, arrogance is a terrible thing. You know, remember when LifeLock first came out? Some of you young guys might not remember. Years ago, LifeLock first came out, and the owner and founder of the company had that big truck, and he had his name and his social security number on the truck. You remember that? And he'd stand in the commercial and say, "See, that's my soul. There ain't nobody gonna take my stuff from me." Well, he promptly got hacked and wiped out, you know. Arrogance will kill you. And you thinking that Satan can't get to you is a bad thought. Real bad thought. So we're going to try to help with that. And I reckon summer is not the last time. I left this one. This is the most important one of the whole. If I had three sermons, I could only preach three sermons. This would be one of them. Because it is a life skill that we have so little of. We don't know how to fight. We don't know how to stand. We don't know how to resist the devil. And so I want to share this with you about being free. Christ says, you know, we don't understand freedom. Because the 70s taught us that freedom is doing whatever the heck you want to do. And nobody telling me what to do. All right? That's not freedom. That's anarchy. And that's bad. When you have anarchy, that means that nothing gets done.
Okay? And we don't understand what true freedom. You know, we sing about being free. People have died and we celebrate. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate the freedom. And we don't really understand it. True freedom is when I am free from things that are holding me back in fulfilling my purpose. True freedom is not that I get to do whatever I want to do. True freedom is when nothing is constricting me to keep me from my purpose. And then Jesus comes along and says, I've come to set the captives free. What does that mean? Captives of what? That I've come to set the captives free. Jesus Christ declared that. And then had the audacity to say, it's finished. Everybody's free. Well, what does that mean? Jesus thinks he's finished. He don't have to do nothing else. That we're free. So, I want to try to show you this and how to attain and maintain your freedom. First of all, Romans 8, 1 and 2. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says this. Therefore, now, 8, 1 and 2. Romans, I got my Bible and I want to read it to you. It's probably up there, isn't it? That's for all you pagans that don't bring your Bible. No, that was funny, wasn't it? I got my phone, Brother Alex. Now, therefore, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are saved and you feel condemned, then either you're not saved or it's from the devil and you're choosing to believe him. Do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me, there's the word again, made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, here's what I want you to understand this. Let me try to build something before we jump in to the main part. There was a law released on the earth. When Adam and Eve released, God gave, what is the anointing to have dominion, to have power, to subdue, and God, they were perfect, and they were meant to walk with God. When they opened the door and gave that power to Satan, everybody since then, every person has been born with a sin problem. You were born into sin, the law of sin and death. You were born into it. This is why we get called bigots and all this stuff for saying, oh, that's so narrow-minded to say that Jesus is the only way, all this stuff. You know, if you die under the law of sin, you will have death forevermore in hell. Now, that's not my choice. It's not even God's choice. God doesn't send anybody to hell. Didn't want to. Created hell. The Bible says he created hell for Satan and his angels. Died to make sure nobody goes there. But if you choose to stay under the law of sin and death, you will die. You were born into it. Sin always produces death. If you sin in relationships with your marriage, if I sleep around on Amy, it's going to kill my marriage. Sin always produces death. The law, we were all locked into it. You can't get out of it. Ain't no way out of it. You're not going to talk your way out of it. You're not going to beg. You're not going to be good enough to get out of it. That's where you are. All of us were locked into sin. Well, then Jesus Christ came and showed up. All of a sudden, Jesus Christ, because One of the things God, see, you got to look at how things were before sin was to kind of know what God wanted. See, we think God wants all this kind of stuff. Man, let me tell you what God wants. He created it. He wanted to have fellowship with us. He walked and talked in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. He hung out with them. He fellowshipped with them. He cannot fellowship with sin, so now the thing that he loves most has this sin problem, so Jesus Christ shows up. And here's what he does. Jesus Christ, he showed up and he said, it was prophesied, and then he said, I've come to set the captive free, then died on the cross and proved it, rose again, and then declared, it's finished, it's over, I've set you free. Sin is defeated forever, all of it. That word free there has two words in it that you need to see. First of all, liberate. The word free means to liberate, to exempt. To liberate and exempt. Now hang on with me. Now we're going somewhere with this. Hang with me. When I liberate something, I cancel all the debt, all the charges against me. I'm out of prison. I'm delivered from something that oppresses me. I've been set free. All the charges. I'll get the gates open wide. All the stuff that passed. All the wrong. The wrong that I was born into has now been canceled. I've been liberated from my gene pool, and now my gene pool is now Jesus Christ, and that's who I am. I've been liberated. And that second word, exempt, all college and high school students know what this means. When I'm exempt from an exam, baby, I don't show up. I don't even have to show up. I don't even have to be a part. I don't even have to think about it. I don't have to study about it. I've been, from all the repercussions caused by my sin, the consequences, the shame, all of those things, I've been liberated and I've been exempt. And that's why he said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. He gives us a little inkling. When he set the children of Israel free, he didn't just liberate them. He didn't just liberate them. The Bible says that the Egyptians wanted them to go so bad, they gave them all kinds. They walked out loaded. They walked out rich. They walked out with enough money to start a country of their own. Can I get a witness? You hear what I'm saying? Now, I know it's summer, and some of you are sunburned, but y'all got to perk up a little bit. I'm not going to preach long unless you got to get this. So we've locked the doors, and if you don't get it, we're going to get it. Okay, we can have lunch right here. We'll, you know, probably be healthier than what I was going to eat at lunch. The whole world, listen, it says that the law of sin and death has been conquered by the life of Christ. Then he turns around and says, the whole world, all of sin is defeated and everybody's free.
Amen.
Then why is there still so much bondage in the church? Why is the statistics about the same in the church as it is in the world? Freedom. Christ, listen, let me say something to you. Christ ain't coming back anymore to do anything else. He thinks he did it all. When he shows up next time, we all gonna drop to our knees. Because he's coming with a big sword and a big army and a big horse. And we all going to go, ooh. He ain't coming back to sacrifice. He thinks that he set you free. Silly Christ. He thinks that the devil and all his stuff has been defeated. Now, how do we appropriate that for us? And man, if you're taking notes, please write this down. I'm teaching you to fish today. I'm not giving you fish. I'm teaching you to fish. Please hear this. I do it. Me and Amy do this for our children. We're doing it. We've done it for our daughter-in-laws. We're doing it for our grandchildren. I mean, this is important, guys. Let me say it like this. You'll never be victorious, Christian, until you learn this principle. Here's what he says in John 8:32 that we just read. Romans 8:32. Is it John 8:32? It's John 8:32. It says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." But first, see, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So it's a person, right? But it says you've got to know the truth. Now, let me teach you something about this word know, because this is important. The word know is in the Greek called gnosko. Now, I'm probably not saying that right, but whatever. It means to understand, to perceive, recognize, to come to know by experience. Okay, so you ever tried to explain to somebody what marriage is like and they ain't married? You know, it's really, you can do a pretty good job, but until you have to get married and you see and you go, you know what I'm saying. I'm not trying to complain about being married. I'm just saying you don't know what it's like until you get married. But then you know marriage. Does that make sense? Because what? Look at me. You've experienced it. This is knowledge. And there, in the Greek word, the way they define this, it is knowledge that has an inception. It's knowledge that has a progress, and it's knowledge that has an attainment. Okay? Now, I'm going to explain all that, but I want you to see this. It's knowledge that has an inception. First of all, inception means a birth. And we'll just take salvation. Okay? It means a birth. Okay, now I want you to hear this. Are you listening? The birth, where does it come? When does inception happen? When the word is spoken to you. Are you hearing me? The word in the New Testament in the Greek is called sperma, where we get the word sperm, the seed. When God speaks to you, he speaks a word to you, all of a sudden that seed takes root. Now faith jumps inside of me. Why? Why does faith wait? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? Faith jumps in me. When God speaks to you, like I hope he says to some of you today, you're lost. You're not saved. You're not my child. I want you to be come be my child. All of a sudden, faith jumps, and I agree with it and receive it. I get saved. All right? But then there is a process and a progress, where the growth of that, where I begin to figure out who and what it means to be born again. Now that's where the battle is. That's where the fight is. God speaks that word. I receive it. Now I've got to fight to see what it becomes. See, most Christians never get by. We've lost our fight. We've lost our fight. Most Christians don't know how to fight through things. I'm going to help you in just a second. Please stay with me. I'm going to help you. Then I'm just you. This is an example. Then attainment. What happens during attainment? That's when truth becomes mine. Like in salvation, I'm not going to need, I am going to attain the truth that I am God's child. When I die and go to heaven, I will see truth. I won't need to believe it anymore or have faith. It'll be there. That's why he said, you must be saved. I am saved. I was saved when the Lord spoke to me. You need to be saved. You need my love. You need to be born again. At 6 years old, I have gone through the process. I am going through the process, and then I will be saved when the attainment of that, when I get saved, when I see Jesus. Now, I know that some of you are confused. Let me unconfuse you. How many of you are saved in here? Okay. Leave that up for a second, Bethany, for me, please. There was one time, look, so you don't have to keep getting re-saved. I don't have to crawl up in Tishy's womb anymore and get reborn to be a Hickman. It happened once. Now, I can deny it. I can act like I'm not one. I can get whooped and kicked out and all that stuff, but it ain't going to change the fact. I'm born again. God spoke to me. I am His child. I am His beloved son. Let me tell you how this works. Let me give you a personal example. When you go through the process of declaring that truth, see, some of you need to say, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. See, part of it is declaring. I'm going to show you that in just a second, all that stuff. See, my dad was born again. He walked through the process and he had already attained the promise. You know what that meant to him? When he was about to die, they gave him a choice, go on dialysis or die. He said, oh man, what, you crazy? I'm dying. And I watched my dad on his deathbed witness to nurses talking to him about Jesus, the love of Christ. See, when you obtain the promise, it takes away the fear and the bondage of death. You see what I'm saying? But see, if you don't attain it, if you don't go through the process and obtain it, you can't have that. You'll fear death. Oh, no! Now, that's a personal example I watched. Now, I want to walk you through this again. Why is it when Jesus Christ says, we are completely set free, we are delivered, Satan has been defeated, I saw him cast down, the chains are broken, we're completely free, why do we still live with curses? Why do we still have generational curses, unforgiveness, addiction, sin, shame, all of these different depression, all these addictions, all this problem, being offended all the time, people that are offended all the time. Do you understand? Why do we live with that when Jesus has already declared we're free and went to heaven and sat down like it's a fact? What's going on? Do you understand that Jesus has won the war totally? We've got to begin to believe each truth, not just the truth about salvation. Let me walk you through this and give you three examples, and I think you'll understand it. All right. We've got to take the time to let God speak to us personally. Everybody look at me. God wants to speak to you. And if you say, well, I can't hear God. If you're saved, you can. So stop saying, I can't. You're agreeing with Satan. You're calling God a liar. Are you listening? You got to let God speak to you personally. Because when you hear His word, and sometimes it's through reading the Bible. Has anybody ever had this happen? You've been reading the Bible, you've read a scripture a thousand times, and this time it jumps off the page at you. That's God speaking to you. All of a sudden, bam! Or a song, or somebody said something to you, bam! It's right what I need to hear. That is God, because what God, the truth does, the truth exposes a lie we have believed. See, some of you still think that God doesn't love you or God's mad at you. You're believing a lie. And the truth, when God speaks it to you, you're my beloved daughter. The truth exposes that lie. Now you got a battle. Does that make sense? You see that? So when the tree says the truth sets you free, the truth exposes a lie, and the confession of what God has said is where the battle, the lie and the truth, the confessions of what God has said is where the battle is. Okay? So we have an inception. Let me give you an example. In through the scripture, I will give you two real life examples. First of all, we have inception. A truth that God spoke into your heart. Don't return your Bible. Just read in Judges the story of Gideon. Gideon is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Gideon was a scared man. He was afraid, hiding in the wine press, trying to get a little food for his family. And here's what the Lord spoke to him. The Lord, through an angel, spoke to him and said, "Hail, mighty man of valor, God has chosen you to defeat the Midianites." And then you read it. I ain't making it up. You read it. God didn't send him right then to attack the Midianites. He went through a process. He snuck around at night, tore down a few idols. He started walking out the process until he had attained, listen, he had attained so much the word of God that had been spoken to him. He attacked 300 Midianites with he attacked 300,000 Midianites with 300 guys with just pots and torches. He went from being a scared guy to attaining that promise and walking it out in his life. Because what's the goal of all of us on this side of heaven? He wants us to look like Jesus. He wants us to be the reflection of His Son. So he attained it. He the inception, the process. You got to sing it. That's why singing is so important. You need to get together and worship and sing. Don't miss the singing. Man, that's when God speaks to me. I hear a sermon, this might be good, it might be bad, blah, blah, blah. But God never disappoints. Man, you can't walk out during worship. Some of you in and out all the time during worship. That's Satan jumping on your bladder because he doesn't want you in the presence of God, because in that presence, that's where God speaks a word. A seed gets birthed inside of you. And then you know the truth, and then that truth sets you free. That seed of His word. I declare it. I do battle with the truth. Let me give you two examples. I had a testimony of a man just last week. He was in prison. And the Lord got saved and the Lord delivered him and all that stuff. But the Lord spoke to him in because he was coming from a past. The Lord spoke to him and said, I'll always take care of you. Honor me with your money. Why would you speak? Why would God speak to a man like that in prison? Because he knows where we come from, and that was a big issue. This man had always been poor. And he came to church. He had one, after he got out of prison, he had $1 in his pocket. God said, honor me. And he's been honoring God ever since. And can I tell you that God has taken care of him ever since? The word was spoken, the truth, the seed, it leaped faith. Don't you know if you ain't got but $1 in your pocket, there's a battle going on, ain't it? You got $1 to your name? Ooh, you want me to give my last dollar? I can at least buy a Twinkie or something. Now, won't you honor me with you? Boom. And then the process, the battle. Now, some battles are quick. Some battles are long. We got a lady sitting in this church. Well, she comes to the first service. The Lord spoke to her, I'm gonna save your husband. So for 25 years, she hung on and would stand when he was mean as hell. He was a drunk. Mean as hell, and she would get in her closet and declare back to the Lord, you said, what is she doing? The progress, the process. She is standing on the word of God. Just like when Jesus confronted Satan. Satan, listen, I mean, Satan don't play fair. I mean, here's a guy that fasted for 40 days. I fasted for 30 one time. And just the thought, a thought of food makes my mouth water. And Jesus hadn't eaten in 40 days. And Satan says, starts talking about bread. Ooh, that's cold. Jesus stood on the word and rebuked him from the truth because he knew it. He had attained it. Are you hearing me? When you begin to understand that, you start looking like Jesus. You start walking around living in that truth. And here's the thing. Can I say this to you? God doesn't deal with every stronghold you have at one time. Aren't you glad? He doesn't deal with every problem. He gets us free in one. We live in it a little while and then he speaks something else to it. Let me give you a personal one. And if she was here, I would let her tell it. But my wife took the weekend off and just left me with all the kids. Don't be amen in that. Her mama and her sister, and they met in Jackson, spending all my money. So, anyway, my wife, I'm going to give you specific examples because some of you are battling with fear. Some of you are battling with addiction. Some of you have to get God's word on it. Listen to me. Look at me. I ain't that good. You can't live on what I give you here on Sunday morning. Ain't nobody that good. You need to get touch. Amy, pregnant with Caleb. That was back when we were young and stupid and didn't know no better. We decided to have a home birth with a midwife. You know, and what happened was, first of all, Caleb was 10'4". Yeah. She gained about a little over 13 pounds with the whole pregnancy. So, I mean, it was all right there. And when the baby was gone, she was almost back to normal. But she went through a hellacious childbirth. It was long. It was drawn out. My dad kept telling me, take her to the hospital. This ain't right. This ain't the way we do it in the old school. I said, Dad, this is the way they did it all the time. Yeah, but not my old school. We go to the hospital. Dad was all right. So we had the baby. Okay. 10-4. God was in it. Felt like the Lord told me to name. See, if you'll ask, God will get involved in whatever you'll let him. I've asked every one of my children, God, you're already calling this baby something. Why don't you just tell me and that's what I'll call it. Felt like the Lord, it wasn't real strong when I wasn't. I was about, I think we're supposed to call him Caleb. Lady shows up at our house 5 days. I hadn't named you yet because we were still praying. And said, brother, I know this is crazy, but I'm just going to tell you and leave. It was so strong. I think I heard the Lord say, you're supposed to name this baby Caleb. And I said, I think you're right. 3 weeks after that, she's nursing the baby, reading her word, singing praises, because if you want to hear God, you got to spend time with him. Please, if you're not reading the word and praying alone, you're never going to get over the hump. She calls me and says, Alan, you got to come home. And she's crying when I get there, and I'm thinking something's wrong. She said, the Lord just spoke to me. And I said, what did the Lord say? And he said, Amy. See, he whispered, you know, I bore your curse. And she said, I instantly knew what he was talking about. He said, I bore your curse. And he also said, we're going to have a lot of children. Well, I didn't like that part. And I said, what do you think the curse means? He said, I knew what it meant. When Adam and Eve sinned, here's what the curse is. He looked at the woman and said, I will greatly increase your pain at childbirth. I will greatly increase your pain. In other words, there's going to be a little pain, but I'm fixing to ramp it way up because that's your curse. And the Lord spoke the truth because he said, I broke the curse. He spoke it into her spirit. When we got pregnant, and sad to say, Jacob... She had not gone long enough to forget the pain. Let's just put it that way. You know, I think there's like 16 months, 18 months apart from you and Caleb. When she got pregnant with him, she said, here's what she said. Alan, the Lord said he broke the curse, but I'm scared. I don't want to go through that again. But every day she would stand up and say, God, you broke my curse. God, I'm standing on that word. Fear, No, I'm not going to have that. No, fear. And she would come to church and she would get on her knees. She would lift her hands and say, you broke my curse. I'm not going to be afraid. And I watched that lady lay there. And when they put you on that ticker tape, I call it a ticker tape machine or whatever, where... You know, it tells you when you're having a contraction. They put her on that thing, and her belly is hard as that concrete right there. And she's sitting there talking to the nurses, telling them, you know, because they're calling in other nurses. Look at this. They're thumping her stomach. I learned quickly. Men should stay out and not offer any opinions during childbirth. Now, I learned that quick. Just shut up, hold the hand, pray, get ice, for the, and just shut up. Well, why don't you do this? Shut up! Yeah, okay. Because I don't want to do it. I've seen 11 of them. Thank God I am a man. But here's what they're bringing in nurses from other, and she's telling them, the Lord spoke to me. He bore my curse. Why are we living with insecurity? Why are you afraid of the future? Why do you feel like you're worthless? Why are we allowing depression to stay there? Depression might be a generational curse, and it might take some time to break. But let the Lord speak the truth to you. Step in there. I'm not telling you to quit your medicine. You keep taking your medicine until the Lord breaks it, and then you won't need it anymore. That's how things work. I'm not telling you, but listen, we got people that are expecting. I've had a man look at me in the eye and say, my great grandpa died at 42 or 43. Heck, man, I'm about to turn 50. I'm on borrowed time. Man, that is a curse because that is no longer my lineage. Amen. Do you understand that my lineage is now, who am I? I am a child of the Most High God. The blood that flows through God Almighty now flows through me. Now the blood of Jesus Christ, of Paul the Apostle, all of those, that is my heritage now. That is the truth. The sad thing about it, we just simply don't believe it. We discount it. Oh, God can't do that. God can take me to heaven, but He can't deliver me from this addiction. He can't take care of this. He can't take care of that. But when you get in the presence of God and He speaks that truth to you, whatever it is, when you brush up against God, that's why you ought to come to praise and worship. Because the Bible says He builds His throne in the midst of our praise. You brush up against God, He whispers something to you. I'll take care of that. You don't have to be afraid of dying. You don't have to live with that curse anymore. And see, when God speaks it to you, that sperma, that seed, faith jumps. And all of a sudden, I've got something solid I can battle when Satan comes at me. Because you're going to have to fight. Satan has nowhere else to go. He wants to keep you down. He wants to keep you broken. He wants to keep you addicted. He wants to keep you offended. He wants to keep you in trial and trouble. Why? Because He knows when you're set free, well, then you become a threat. Because free people. Hurt people, hurt people. I was privileged to do a wedding this weekend. And what hit me? I was driving back. Both of them had God speak to them. And they were both delivered from addictions. Right? And I looked around the room, and there was a large majority of the people in that room, listen to me now, that were delivered from addiction. The battle. We actually had it in my brother's house, Justin's house. Beautiful home. He sits right there, And he went from being homeless to having a beautiful home. Because I remember when he was homeless. And every one of them will tell you the same thing. It was God spoke to him and said, you don't have to live like that. I got something better for you. I got something better for you. You can be free. And every one of them tell you. A few people I know get lucky and the chains fall off and they walk out of it. And if I knew how to do that for people, I'd be running around doing it. But most of us, like me, we got a battle. We got a process. We got to stand in that truth and say, no, that's who I once was. No, you're right, Satan. That's who I was, but not no more. The Word has set me free. You got to proclaim it before you can attain it. Does that make sense? Now, my question to you is, what truth are you standing on right now? What do you believe in God for? What truth has He spoken to you that you're claiming? God ain't spoke me. I don't know what to... Well, get close to Him and He'll begin to point out. You know what God's doing to me now? Oh, I hate it. He's talking to me about my attitudes. Yeah, what you did was all right, but your attitude. And He sets me free from bad attitudes. He speaks to me a word. You don't have to put up with that anymore. You know, you can give that up. It's not that important. Hey, why don't you forgive them? It's really not that big of a deal. Yes, I can stand on that truth. And I begin to work the process to where I grab hold of it. And this is one of the things I'm going to have, we're going to pray. Some of you still don't believe God loves you. Man, let me tell you something. I don't care what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't like bad stuff. Don't want bad stuff. But it doesn't matter. God loves me. I'm convinced. I have attained that revelation. You ain't shaking me off of it. Man, does that make life a lot more easy?